peace with God.
Just a few more fries, or maybe one more piece of cake. They tasted so good at the time. But a few minutes later, the regret sets in. It's the same with sin, only a lot more serious.
The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But then comes the bitterness, the emptiness, the loneliness.
But Billy Graham says God's offering you a love that's greater than your sin.
Will you receive my love? Will you allow me to forgive you? Will you allow me to come into your heart and make you a new person?
You'll be encouraged by today's message here on Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. Also on today's program, a reality check from Will Graham.
Often we fail to connect God's word with reality. In other words, God tells us in Scripture what He desires, but yet when it comes to our everyday living, we choose not to follow what He teaches.
You'll hear the rest of Will's insight in just about 20 minutes.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
There's something you should know today. God is pursuing you because He loves you. That's what you'll hear explained in today's message from Billy Graham. It comes from his 1963 crusade in Los Angeles, California. Let's listen now here on Peace with God.
Now today, I want you to turn with me to the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Here we have the story, three stories that Jesus told. It's a very wonderful thing to study the teaching and the ministry and the preaching of Jesus Christ. There are several things that stand out about His preaching. One, His preaching was always simple. The common people heard Him gladly. He said profound things in a simple way. Secondly, Jesus always preached with authority. He spoke as one having authority. You never had any doubts about where Jesus stood on any issue. He spoke with authority. Thirdly, Jesus never gave a sermon, but what He used illustrations and stories. He always told some simple story to illustrate a profound spiritual truth. And here Jesus is visiting in the home of some of the publicans and sinners. Now many people of that day condemned Him for going with the publicans and the sinners. It's true that the Bible teaches that we as Christians ought to be separated from the world. But we are to be separated also in the world. We are to go into the world. The Scripture says that God sends us as sheep among wolves. What could be more dangerous than a sheep in a pack of wolves? And that's exactly the position of the Christian today in the midst of the wicked and perverse generation. We are sheep among wolves. And Jesus never held Himself aloof from society. He went to the various things that the world was doing. He never compromised. He never participated in evil. But Jesus always invariably used it as an opportunity to witness. He used it as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, to preach. And on this occasion, there was no exception. He was there and He tells three stories that illustrate one great spiritual truth. The first story He tells is about a sheep. A man had 100 sheep. 99 of them were safe, but one of them had gotten lost, had wandered away. And it's the story of a shepherd that is going throughout the countryside, over the mountains, in the valleys, in the woods, searching at tremendous cost to himself for one lost sheep. One sheep that had gone astray. Now I know something about sheep. Sheep can get lost easier than any animal. The Bible, all the way through, likens us to sheep. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says that the human race are just like sheep. And you and I today are lost from God. You've wandered away. The Bible says we are stupid. Our minds have been blinded to spiritual things by sin. We are morally and spiritually lost. We are separated from God. We have wandered away from God. But the beautiful part of this chapter, of this story, is this. That in spite of the fact that we've gone astray and we're living separated from God, lost, facing judgment and hell, ending in destruction, the Bible says that God loves us, but more than that, God is searching for us. The shepherd left the 99 that was safe in the fold and went after the one lost sheep. And God so loved this little earth, He so loved us that He sent His Son even to the death of the cross to humble Himself on the cross to bring us back to Himself. Because you see, God made us in His image. And God said, I love you. And when He made us, He gave us a will of our own. You can live any kind of life you want to. You can laugh at God. You can say you don't believe in God. You can live a wicked, godly, sinful life apart from God. Or you can turn and receive God's offer of love and grace and mercy and be forgiven of your sins and enter a new dimension of living. But every one of us has to make that choice. You're lost. You're away from God. There's no peace in your heart. No joy. No security. No real happiness. Lost. Morally, spiritually, psychologically lost. But worse than that, separated from the love and the fellowship of God, on your way to judgment, destruction, and hell. And yet God loves you. God is saying, come back. Come back. He called you by name. He's like the shepherd that goes after the one lost sheep. He says, I want you back. Won't you come back? Let me forgive your past. Let me give you a new life. Let me give you power to overcome those habits that have bound you. Let me break the chains and the cords and the ropes of sin that bind you. Let me give you a new life. The second story Jesus told was about a girl. She was probably 17 or 18 years of age. And in those days, a girl's great ambition was to get married. She wanted to get married. But in those days, before she could get married, the custom was that she had to save 10 silver coins. And these 10 silver coins would be worn in her hair as an evidence that she was of marriage age and evidence that she had saved enough for her marriage. And this girl had saved her 10 silver coins. But she lost one of them. And she turns the house upside down, calls in her neighbors to help her find the one coin that was lost. She looked under the bed. She looked in the kitchen. She swept the house from top to bottom, but she couldn't find the coin. But finally tucked away, where it had rolled in a crack in the floor, she finds the coin. She calls her friends and neighbors in. They have a party to rejoice that the lost coin had been found. Jesus said, you and I are like lost coins. And a lost coin is lost by neglect and carelessness. There are many of you here today that don't mean to be lost. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to have to face the judgment of God. You say, I think I'll get to heaven. In fact, almost everybody in this stadium this afternoon thinks that someday, eventually, you'll be saved. You don't expect to end up 1 minute after death, separated from God. You expect to be in heaven. And yet many of you have gone through the wrong door. You're trusting the wrong things to get you to heaven. I know many people that think they're going to get to heaven because they're a member of some church. You've got your name on a church roll. You've been confirmed. You've been baptized. Maybe you don't go to church with regularity. You don't give much time to God, but at least you give intellectual assent to the claims of God, and you go to church because it's the social thing to do, or it's a duty, or you're trying to set an example for your family. All of those are good reasons, but they will not save your soul. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast." You can't work your way to heaven. You can't sign your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. And because you're resting in a false security, you're lost. You're lost from God. But in spite of that, God says, "I love you. I want you to return. I'll forgive you. I'll restore you. I'll heal your backsliding. I'll bring you back into fellowship with me. I will give you a joy that you never had before. Return." How many thousands of people here this afternoon have a nostalgia for that old day when you lived a different life and had a greater peace than you have now? God says, "Return. I will forgive you. I will heal you. I will cleanse you. I will make you a new person."
You can discover more about God making you a new person at peacewithgodradio.org. Just click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us at 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. You'll hear the conclusion of Billy Graham's message in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Not since Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago has anyone actually been comforted by the physical touch of God. But through some mystery, He can still comfort you in a very real way when you cry out to Him. That's what Heidi Marie did as she was caring for her dying husband.
"When I called, just help, I need help, you know, I mean, he was there, just calming me down and telling me it will be okay."
God also used Heidi Marie's dear Christian friends to bring her comfort after her husband passed away. But there was still a deep loneliness in Heidi Marie's heart. And in that loneliness, God was her comfort.
"You need the strength what Christ gives you to get through this. That you can talk to Him, you just can't make it."
The Bible tells us that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus. Get to know Him by going to billygraham.org and clicking on Grow Your Faith. That's billygraham.org.
Thanks for being with us today for Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Another outreach of this ministry is a very special retreat center in the mountains of western North Carolina near Asheville. It's known as The Cove, but its full name is the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove. Will Graham is the director.
It's just a place where people can come and study God's Word through the teaching of His Word.
The Cove has a long list of well-respected Bible teachers and Christian musicians on its summer and fall schedules. And fall, says Will Graham, is a great time to stay at The Cove.
Western North Carolina is such a beautiful place. The Appalachian Mountains are gorgeous, especially in the fall. To me, it's got to be one of the prettiest places in the world. I hate to travel in the fall because I love staying here. I'm like my grandmother.
Will's grandmother, Ruth Bell Graham, passed away in 2007. The Cove is part of her legacy.
The Cove came to be because it was something my grandparents had dreamed about. Both Ruth and Billy Graham dreamed of a place where people can come and study God's Word and allow God's Word, which they thought was authoritative in every aspect of their life, to give insight to any issue in life.
People come from across the United States and around the world to experience all that The Cove has to offer. You can begin to discover more of what it has to offer by going to thecove.org. That's thecove.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
So far in today's message, you've heard about a lost sheep and a lost coin. Now you'll hear about a lost son. Jesus told all three stories to help you better understand God's love for you. And Billy Graham taught from these stories during his 1963 crusade in Los Angeles, California. Let's listen.
The third story that Jesus told is about a man that had two sons. He was a rancher. He probably had one of these great cattle ranches here in California. And his son one day, his youngest son, came to him and said, "Dad, I'm getting tired of the ranch. I'm getting tired of living out here farming and raising cattle or oranges or whatever they raise." And he said, "I would like to have my inheritance from you right now. I want to go to Los Angeles. I want to go to Hollywood or Beverly Hills. I want to go to one of those places and have a good time. I'm tired of the monotony and the drudgery of staying here on the farm. Let me have my money now. I'm going to the big city. I'm going to have a big time." The father said, "Son, I advise against it. I advise you not to, because you won't find satisfaction that way. You'll find satisfaction only in faith in God. You won't find it in material things. You won't find it in the pleasures of the world." But the boy was headstrong. He thought he knew better. And so he said, "Dad, I'm going to go." So his father gave him the money because he was of age. And he left home and he went to the big city. Now, this young man was not careless about it. This young man was not stupid. This young man was deliberate. He deliberately chose to go his own way. And how many of you here today have deliberately chosen to go your own way? This young man deliberately chose to go his own way. And so he came to town. And for a while he had a wonderful time. It was a great life. All the bright lights, many friends, nightclubs, girls. He had everything. Money, everything that money could buy, he had it. But then something happened. He ran out of money, and he found when he ran out of money, his friends left him. And he was alone. And he tried to get a job, but he couldn't get a job. Nowhere could he find any work. Out of money, lonely. And he began to starve. And finally, he went to one of his former friends and he said, "Won't you give me a job even feeding the pigs?" The man said, "All right, you can go out in the barn and feed the pigs, and you can eat with the pigs." And he went out and he began to feed the pigs. And he stooped so low and fell so deep in the mire and the mud that he looked like a pig, he acted like a pig, and he ate like a pig. And that's how the devil pays off. In the beginning, a life of sin looks like it'll pay off well. That first sex experience that you know is wrong. Those first few drinks. Those first few sinful pleasures. So sweet to the taste. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But then comes the bitterness, the emptiness, the loneliness. That's how the devil pays off. But this young man, in his emptiness, in his loneliness, in his misery, in his hell, begins to think about his father. This is the story now that Jesus told. He begins to think about his father. And he says, "Why, my father's hired hands, his servants, have more than I have. I think I'll get up and go back to the ranch and beg my father's forgiveness and ask him if I can be his slave." And so he gets up and goes. But you say, "Billy, I cannot leave the pig pen. I've been there too long. I've got habits and problems that I cannot get rid of." I know your problem. I have to deal with it all the time in my counseling. No, you cannot leave them. You're in the pig pen. You try to get up, but your will has been dulled and paralyzed. You try to change. You want to turn to God, but you can't. Ah, yes, you can. Because you see, if you are willing, God will reach down into the pig pen. God will reach down into the mire of sin and pick you up by his own strength and change you from the inside out. God will help you to repent if you let him. this young man went back. And while he was a long way off, his father had been watching for him every day. And he was looking through his field glasses, and he said, "I think that's my son coming down the road." And he ran to meet him, and he put his arms around him. And he said, "Son, welcome home." And the boy blurted out, "Father, I'm sorry, forgive me. I know that I'm not worthy to be your son. I want to be your hired servant." The father said, "Nonsense, son. You've been lost, but now you're found. I forgive you. Welcome home. Kill the fatted calf. Bring out the royal robes. Let's have a party. Call in the neighbors and friends." You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "God the Father is watching for you. And when you return, all of heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. The orchestras in heaven play. The choir sings. It causes rejoicing in heaven when one person turns and receives Christ." God loves you today so much that even if you were the only person in all the world, He would have died for you on the cross. God loved you so much that He was willing to watch while His Son was beaten and spat upon and mocked and laughed at and crucified. God the Father loved you so much that He was willing to go to the cross in the person of His Son and say to you, "I love you. I'm proving it by this cross. Will you receive my love? Will you allow me to forgive you? Will you allow me to come into your heart and make you a new person?"
You can learn more about accepting God's love and forgiveness and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ just by going to peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or if you'd like to talk to someone, just give us a call, 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. That's the same number to call if you'd like a free CD copy of today's edition of Peace with God. It's yours to listen to anytime you like or to share with someone else. The number again is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Just let us know you'd like that free CD copy of today's program.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
We learned from Billy Graham's message today how Jesus used stories to help us learn to trust God. But the Bible also tells about a man who told a story because he didn't trust God. Billy Graham's grandson, Will, explains.
Often we fail to connect God's word with reality. In other words, God tells us in Scripture what He desires. But yet when it comes to our everyday living, we choose not to follow what He teaches. The same was true for Abram in Genesis chapter 12. God had told Abram that he was to be a father of a nation, but yet when Abram went to Egypt, he was afraid. He lied about his wife Sarai and told the Egyptians that she was his sister because he was afraid that Pharaoh might kill him in order to get his wife. Abram failed to connect the promises of God that he would be a father of a nation with his current reality of living in Egypt. He was weak in his faith, and because of that, instead of being a blessing to the Egyptians, he became a curse. You will live your life according to the faith you exercise. So live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
Something that can help encourage you to exercise your faith every day is Billy Graham's Daily Devotion. You can bring it up on your computer or through the free app we have for your smartphone or tablet. Either way, begin by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on Grow Your Faith. peacewithgodradio.org, then click Grow Your Faith. Join us next week here on Peace with God for a fresh look at the story of the Good Samaritan who helped a man who was beaten and left for dead.
So this Samaritan went to him just as Christ will come to you tonight. In your hurt, in your distress, in your failure, in your sin, He will come to you.
That's next week here on Peace with God. We're also offering a special DVD right now. It follows Franklin Graham and his daughter Sissy as they take a 7-day tour of the Holy Land. You'll see Franklin and his daughter share from the Bible as they stand in the very places they're reading about. The DVD also features bonus material. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You can give over the phone by calling 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787, or give online at peacewithgodradio.org. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Peace with God. I'm Bill Meyer, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.